Hello, listeners. This is Paula Scataloni. Transformative Harmonics is an academy for individual and planetary healing rooted in ancient wisdom and modern science. We are here for those who are interested in being guided back to soul so they can step into their signature frequency and be in service of humanity. If you've been looking for a place to land and settle down, develop community, and dive into the psyche and soma in a way that is supportive, trauma-informed, and integrative, then our programs are here for you now. Our monthly membership circle is available for those looking for a one or twice a month option for themselves and supported by my writings and somatic practices and sound journeys through Substack. Our immersive program is a deep dive into your own, your ancestral, and the collective, so you can go through your own initiation and transformation into your signature frequency with a small, intimate cohort. These groups are closed, and they only open every other month. So please reach out to me if you're interested in one of our upcoming groups. If any of these programs feel like they resonate with you, go to my website, paulascataloni.com, and fill out an application or sign up for a discovery call. I'm happy to meet with you and give you more information to help you make your decision. We would love to meet you and bring your wisdom into the circle.
Welcome. I'm your host, Paula Scataloni, the founder of Transformative Harmonics, a podcast that offers listeners a synthesis of ancient wisdom and modern science.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Transformative Harmonics. I'm your host, Paula Scataloni. This week, my guest is one of the people I think who is really has her hands and feet on the ground doing the hard work while we expand consciousness, open up to creative ideas, and bring that into the body to be influencers of change out in the world. And Kim is a person who really embodies that perspective. Kim and I have been talking about, and on the podcast, we'll talk about this idea of spiritual activism, what it means to shift our perspective of culture. How do we bring the body into the conversation, not just in therapy, but also for activism, for change, for influencing ourselves and the world around us. One of the things Kim does beautifully is using movement and music and song as a vehicle for change, for trauma healing, for bringing people together for a shared purpose. Kim Torrance is a somatic healer, and she's been a dancer for over 20 years. She works with individuals and groups in the healing of trauma, and she integrates many of the leading edge modalities that stem from an understanding of neuroscience and the body, of parts work, and ancient wisdom. She specializes in embodiment, IFS, and the sacred power of dance, and she supports communities and individuals in their greater recovery, not only of their trauma, but also of full embodiment. Kim is a person who's very passionate. You're going to get to hear about that passion. It is a delight to share this conversation with her, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did.
Welcome to another episode of Transformative Harmonics. I'm Paula, and I'm your host today. Before we start, I'd like to invite you to take a moment as we shift from maybe third gear or fifth gear into first or second gear, slowing down the nervous system, slowing down the mind, moving out of our consumption paradigms of taking in information into more of a paradigm of having an experience. Having an embodied experience. And with this, because our guest is all about embodiment and how the body speaks and breathes and talks and receives, I'm going to invite you to really pay attention to your body during this embodied conversation about movement, sound, music, and healing. As we continue to build a bridge for the new human, for the new paradigms, And our guest today, Kim Torrence, is part of that. So welcome, Kim. It is beautiful to have you here today.
Hi, Paula. I'm delighted to be with you. Thank you for this opportunity to come and speak with you.
I'm looking forward to it. So, this is hopefully just going to be fun and casual. We'll chat about who you are and what's been going on in your life. In particular, I think you are one of the few people that has the same level of enthusiasm for movement that I have. That it's like, wah, you know, when we're around music, is we can't not move, right? And so we're really kindred spirits when it comes to that. And so I'm excited to start to talk about the role of music and movement in your life. But to do that, I'd like to hear a little about your story. We know you're coming from the field of psychotherapy. You are an integrative provider. And so that's important for people to have models of what that looks like. But you're also someone that profoundly believes in the medicine of sound, music, and movement. So let's start there in terms of what, you know, might be helpful for us to know about you as we follow your story and begin to understand what this medicine is.
Well, I just want to first start with gratitude, Paula, for you, for the space that you've provided for me to get to a place where I feel ready and safe enough to share the integration of everything, because I'll share that it's been quite a journey. There's my personal life and then my professional life and what I was sort of taught through the psychotherapy lens to compartmentalize. So I come from psychotherapy. I come from learning about attachment, you know, and then into somatic experiencing, IFS, neuroaffective touch. And I always wanted to bring dance and music to healing spaces, but I never really felt that that was welcome, especially like in the medical model. And now I'm in a place where I'm ready to just be myself and bring what I think is really healing. And what has been really healing for me has been dance, and specifically dance coming from, well, as a child, I would just make up dances in my basement. I was born this way, basically. And my whole life has been finding my way back to that. But yeah, so I feel like it's safe to say music got me through my adolescence. I really found and discovered parts of myself I wasn't, or maybe I had lost along the way. But the most transformative moment was when I turned 18 and a friend invited me to a house dance club and in DC, Trax. It was an iconic, very special club in DC. And that experience of going into a space that was gay owned, gay run, they had a sign out front that said that, you know, gay owned, gay run. If you don't like it, get the fuck out. Like, you're not welcome. And so going into these spaces where it's just like this cavernous, I mean, in my memory, it was just this huge space with house music, something I'd never heard before. I like to say I'm a child of rock and roll, because I totally, all throughout my high school years, loved rock and roll. And then thankfully to public radio, I was able to connect with the blues, because I knew that rock and roll came from the blues. And so I'd listen to the blues hour, and then there was the jazz hour. So music had always been something I would go into my room and like memorize some of these songs, like, and I'll spare everyone, but like Etta James. I like to think, you know, there's no way in hell I can't sing like that, but the feeling and the sensation and the vibration of these songs and the music and the meaning was really transformational for me. As I mentioned, I had some, you know, my family life was, I mean, definitely I had a lot of things to be grateful for, but my family, my parents had a lot of issues, and the way that they handled that was hard for me. And I think I was like pretty anxious and depressed, you know, as a teenager, without realizing it. It just showed up as like imperfect perfectionism. But then to go into these spaces where I got to connect with aspects of myself, because we would go and just dance, you know, and like, I like to paint a picture. It's like you just go into this dark, big room with smoke and tons of people dancing, and no one's there to tell you how you're supposed to move, and to just get lost in that and like find what my body wanted to do. And it's really powerful and transformational. And so like from the moment I turned 18, I just started going to the clubs like 5 times a week while I lived. Later I went to school in Rhode Island and the club situation was different, but the DC club scene, especially in the 90s, was really special. So yeah, so that was like where I really learned how to just connect with my soul, I think, like being able to step outside of the confines of what you're supposed to look like or do or say or act like, and then just get free, you know.
Therapy. So there.
There's this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was, I would say, the most profound transformational and my first really big transformational experience of sound and music and movement. And these are spaces where like the, in the house scene, house music scene, these aren't, it's not like, I mean, some people dress up, some people wear sweatpants. There's all different kinds of dancers, and there's no structure. I mean, there is now like house dance steps, but especially back then, you know, and it's still to this day, you just move how you want to move. And there aren't a lot of, and I'm coming from, you know, like suburban America, white suburban America, there's not a lot of permission to move how you want to move, at least in my family, in my neighborhood. You know, I always felt like I always got that message of, you're crazy, you're too big, you're too much, you're irresponsible. Like if just in terms of moving and being playful, like the messages that we get, I think, from like dominant culture is you're supposed to be serious. And
sensuality too sometimes comes with movement. And oh, God forbid we, you know.
God forbid you shake your ass. Because that means, you know, you're trouble.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, hell yeah, I'm trouble. And I'm okay with that. Yeah. So that's actually funny, because my first experience, like I get to the club and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm looking around. And next thing you know, I just start shaking my ass. And I've been shaking my ass ever since. And I have to say, it's quite liberating.
I love it. I love it. But it's really giving yourself permission to move the body how it wants to move. And it's interesting that, you know, it takes these sort of dark places where we're, you know, in safety, but with others that have consented to be with ourselves in that way. And then the music itself, the role of music for you then shifted. It sounds like it expanded into music, maybe that expressed itself in a different way, and that this was a form of therapy in your
early
years.
Yeah. I mean, I, like, as a result of some of my family problems, I definitely found some solace in, you know, like partying a little bit with my friends, or a lot, you know. There was like definitely a wayward path that I went for a period of time. But like I said, like music and just listening to the lyrics, like Pink Floyd, The Wall was really profound for me. Yeah, just like so many, I could go on and on of so many different, like rock and roll, but just so, like Pink Floyd, oh my gosh, Dark Side of the Moon, that album is incredible. And that was definitely like listening to the lyrics and starting to question the meaning of life. I've always questioned the meaning of life, but then going into these spaces where it was about dance, like I don't want to, if I'm drunk, I'm not going to dance the same, and I'm probably going to fall or step on my foot or something like that. So it really actually, it's interesting, because going into these spaces where I was able to just move freely to the music, I didn't didn't want to drink or didn't want to smoke because it took away from my ability to connect more fully with my body and the music. And so it's sort of like, yeah, it's almost like it connects you to your life force energy. And that feels so incredibly good.
Yes. Yes.
That you don't really need anything else.
Yes. It's a drug in itself.
It's its own drug. But it's also, it's not just like the endorphins. I think it's like because you connect with your soul.
With your soul.
Right. And you get to step outside of the mind, which is, it's a linear experience. You know, and the way that we're made to feel, like the colonial dominant overculture and all of the different like messages that we get and try to fit into. But then you go into this place where you literally, it's like unzipping your body and stepping, you know, your soul can come out and like, or not unzipping your body, but like unzipping the shell of who you were told you were supposed to be. And you get to, something else gets to happen.
Yes.
And then you go back into your life having had a good dose of that on a Sunday evening, and you come from that place.
Yes.
And I notice that I'm pointing to my heart. I think that's what it is. It connects you with your heart.
Yes. So what a powerful gateway for soul level living, right? Because you're you're taking that time to be with the soul through movement and then integrating that into the week. To come from that place, a really embodied living from the soul.
Yes.
So how does that then? So we've got this place where that can happen, and people might still think of that as like a social event, right? So then when we start to think of it therapeutically as a medium that can get integrated into the work that somebody does or the spaces of your space holder, how do we bring a little bit more of a container in? So we've got the social venue, but then we've also got like the therapeutic venue.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. And as you're saying that, I'm realizing that I forgot to mention that after, and this will tie into what you're saying, but like after that initial going to the club, learning how to dance and be with music and sound and community in the club setting. Then I got into salsa and I had a huge 20-year journey with becoming a, you know, the best salsa, you know, and definitely like seeing my mind and my body sort of, my mind wanting to be, I want to be a good dancer and I wanted to be good enough for people to ask me to dance, and then what it takes for the body to learn. And then I journeyed into Afro-Cuban dance, and that like really helped me to just connect to the spiritual aspect of folkloric, what it really truly means, and singing and dancing at the same time. And so I was having these profound experiences personally. And then also then I would go to my job. And I having been taught like just from my social work program, which was in 2005, you know, they talked about CBT back then, maybe mindfulness. But I think, I do hope, and I think that social work schools are more integrative or holistic. But so I, to follow your question, is like, I had these ideas about how to bring it together, and it never really felt acceptable in these spaces where I believe that the families I worked with probably could have really benefited greatly. And I would do it in my individual. So, but I think now where I'm at, to answer your question, is how do we bring it in? I mean, I think it's like, we just take talk, put it to the side, and bring in dance as the, this is how we're going to explore the things that come up for you. And here's this modality of whether you're doing somatics or IFS, but just sort of like what we're able to put our attention on. And then the body moving, it gets you it out of your, I mean, I really do honor, I've benefited greatly from talk. I talk a lot, and talk therapy has been helpful, but it's the relationship. It's not just talk. It's the relationship. So I think that that this can be the platform, you know, community spaces, movement, and then you just take those somatic, you know, for me, I'm coming from somatic experiencing, like what's, okay, orienting, you know, we can orient to this song and this music. What do you notice coming up for you? Is there a sensation? Is there an impulse? I just did this weekend at a workshop, Embodiment for Dancers, because I'm starting to do embodiment for dancers, but also bring dance to embodiment seekers as a pathway to the authentic self. But not only just to the authentic self, but like, how do we then move out of individual healing into the collective? I'm on that journey myself of just how to turn around, like instead of it just being about one's own personal happiness, which is important, but also like getting us in touch with empathy, getting us in touch with interconnectedness of all things, and that none of us are free until all of us are free. And that we, you know, these times, I think, underscore the importance of that.
Very much so. Very much so. So it feels like one of the really practical things you're saying to people, if you are a provider listening there, that the medium of dance and the medium of movement can be moved into many of the tools you're already using if you start to think more creatively about how movement can express what it is you're seeing, feeling, or experiencing, and how it can be a pathway for body tracking and being with your embodied experience, where then you might find emotions like empathy or any emotion, really, right?
Or expressing your anger, being with your anger, but instead of it being like, it's too much, but it can be like a song that's got like a beat to it. And then you're in your life force and you're accessing, you're in the sympathetic and you can titrate that, right? But it's joyful or it's fun or it's playful. It doesn't have to be like, okay, like we're sitting silently and you're focusing on, you know, anger towards your mother, you know, which is like important, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So a different way of being with emotions that feels like would help them really move through the body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Or, and also too, like I've been leaning on it as, so to name the political climate in America today as just the, what has always been, but is now in stark full, like we're just seeing that it's like, oh, this impact, it's coming for all of us, and we need to join forces and push back to, you know, when our democracy was already wobbly, maybe not even truly a democracy, but we're seeing like how it's in danger and how we have to participate. I mean, I'll speak from my experience. I thought it was enough to vote, you know, and be informed, but this 24-hour news cycle of horror and terror and just, you know, I have the pathway in my nervous system from my family story and all the stuff that I went through is like to go into kind of a collapse, like a freeze, like a functional freeze with some collapse. And I go into the pathway of like workaholic or perfectionism, or let me take another course. You know, I'm coming out of that. But like, you know, and then I am so grateful that I'm a dancer, because, you know, whether it's like, okay, actually I want to learn this one movement, and then just like practicing, and like that's the meditation, is I'm going to just do this bop or this, you know, this movement from a certain dance style and really feel it in my body. And then, oh, emotion comes up, or I move out of feeling helpless. And this is I think the biggest thing that dance offers, is that you can, I call it the I can and the I am. I mean, that's not, I didn't come up with that. It's on those like polyvagal charts, but like it helps you find your I can, and it helps you find your I am in an embodied way, so that you can at the very least feel a teeny tiny bit of agency, enough for, you know, to get through the day. But you do that enough and it keeps you out of panic and terror and hopelessness, which is what what authoritarianism wants, what colonialism wants, hopelessness, despair, shutdown, right? And then we've got the whole layer of AI and social media and all the ways that the old techno fascists want us to be completely disconnected from each other, right? But if we can feel a little bit of movement and that I can, I am, I'm more likely to, you know, go outside for a walk after and speak to my neighbor or go to a dance or feel energy to engage in life outside of basic survival, which is enough to begin with, especially, and then to have on top of it all this, you know, stress and terror with the current regime.
So it really keeps us out of immobilization, out of freeze.
Yes.
Keeps us connected to one another and to life itself.
Yeah.
And to life itself.
Hello, this is Paula Scataloni. Thank you for listening to the Transformative Harmonics podcast. If this conversation has been interesting to you, I invite you to look at our new Transformative Harmonics Academy. I was inspired to create this membership and academy to bring together not only the transformative power of sound, but also a growing global community of faculty and teachers who are coming together to support you on your journey. So together, you will come and meet myself, others who are interested in spiritual growth, embodiment, soulful connection, opening their gifts, and we will gather weekly to explore, embody, and find our signature frequency. If this is interesting to you, feel free to check out the website or make a discovery call with me at paulascataloni.com. And now back to the podcast.
And I think too, into life itself, and in my experience, sort of like, you know, there's that freeze and there might be like emotion that can come up, like grief, like, you know, and to be able to cry, to be able to feel that, like, you know, I mean, every day and every week with this current regime feels like 10 years, but, you know, to be able to move out, you know, let's say I learn about something and I feel so helpless, I'm so upset. You know, and then what do you do with that? So, you know, to go, I go into immobilization. And just like you said, you know, it helps us out of the immobilization and into our life force. And then there's like more, you know, generativity. It helps me organize, like, well, how can I show up for this moment in a way that is, and that's what, honestly, what's helping me really say, I'm going to do this. Right. I'm finding all the ways that I can offer dance and help it to be, because a lot of people have discomfort. Maybe they don't feel comfortable. There's a lot of shame that can come up. So you can apply also a lot of this, for me, the somatic experiencing paradigm somatics can be helpful to help people begin to find what does feel okay. It could be that you bob your head. It could be that you just listen. You start where you're at.
Yeah.
And even this workshop I gave this last weekend, this guy was moving his fingers.
Yeah. It's all.
And then he said, you know, I just don't know you. I don't know you all. I don't know anybody here. And he was like a very skilled, many different types of dance, but felt uncomfortable, you know, moving a lot. But he found what did feel comfortable. And that's that I can, I am. That's what moves you out of immobilization, but also folds in choice and consent.
Oh, there's so many layers of healing.
There's so many layers.
Happen. Yes. I think it is a pathway that has gone unnoticed, untapped, unless people, you know, went to school for that training, but we all can do it. I mean, we're all born to dance. It's like part of our hardwiring, right? And it's giving that permission. And you really give people permission and create spaces for it to be healing experience. And you've even tapped into some of the social justice song groups that are happening. I know you sent and shared within the mentorship about some of those. Have you attended any of those?
So I've attended the training and some gatherings. So I was already doing, there's a woman in Frederick, Amanda Lucha, you can find her on Instagram, Amanda Lucha Photography. I don't remember her last name, but she's amazing. So I was already doing like singing circles. And then these, so it's, if people are interested, it's Singing Resistance. You can find them. There's chapters. It's so cool because it's chapters are popping up everywhere as a way. So I have done some of like just the preliminary. What I've been doing though, because with the Indivisible protest, you can find ones that are like just down your street. So I don't yet have like a crew to sing with. So what I do is I show up with my speaker and I dance. I'm like, let's do this. You know, it's because you're, you know, a lot of these Indivisible No Kings protests, you're just kind of standing there with a sign. And I'm like, let's party. Let's show, like, this doesn't have to be like grim. I mean, it is grim, and let's dance and let's get people to feel something so that it's like, yeah, we can be in resistance and it can be joyful. I mean, not always, right? Because as we saw in Minnesota, you know, people were assaulted, people were attacked, people were killed, or certainly with different protest movements, you know, it's not always something where you can party and be joyful.
But definitely bringing into that space but that protest can be peaceful, it can be heart aligned, it can be a space of embodied expression. And we can stay embodied and connected to higher frequencies, even though we're protesting, and how it's a very different vibration. So I want to highlight that, because part of what we're talking about in the program is how to stay out of polarizing, even as the world splits apart, and how to find that neutrality, that unity consciousness, and hold that within the context of speaking truth, right? And that's a real level of mastery that we're all having to navigate. Now, within this, there's also a level of rebalancing and giving people permission to embody more of the feminine, right? Which is the body, which is the nervous system, which is the creative aspect of us, and then find that voice from in there to bring it in a direction that's going to be received. And so it feels like what you're doing is super integrative, that it allows that all to happen.
Yeah, I just want to say first, like, gratitude that I feel that I can do that now. It's been a journey because, you know, you mentioned like dance therapy. I was in that sort of framework for many years where I would get all of these ideas, like profound flow of ideas. And then I would suppress them because I didn't think that anyone wanted that, or it would be good enough, or I don't have the certification, or it's just not going to be successful. And, you know, and I had all this, I think, like conditioning that and it can even also be, I have had some past life readings, like many people have, you know, maybe past life experiences of showing up in a particular way that was not received well, let's just say. So I you know, I think that that's part of the gift of your program, that I'm grateful I listened to those soul whispers. You know, you should reach out to Paula. You should reach out to Paula. Do Paula, you know, do SSP with Paula. And those experiences of just, like, really, truly, the SSP was very helpful for me. And then your mentorship was very helpful for me to feel like, you know, and then also plus the times that we're in, it's like, and some of the shamanic journeys that we've done with the, you know, the, and the ancestral work that, you know, sort of just the sense of like, there is no time to be afraid of whether or not you're good enough. If you have something to show up to share that will help, like, collective, you know, heal humanity and collective, and in the service of collective liberation, you should do it. Even if you might be a little worried or scared that, you know, it might be stupid, you know, someone might not like it. It's like, you know, that, and that's what's so really helpful, is like, I'm shifting out of the ways that I was conditioned to believe that there had to be a certain linear outcome or a manual, or you're supposed to know what's going to happen, like shifting out of that colonial mindset into setting up a space that is supportive for the healing that wants to happen. And someone might not like it, or it might not land for them, and that's their journey. It's not about you. I mean, your job is to be in your heart space and to be inclusive and create that safety. But I definitely feel that those things, and also the work of Joanna Macy has been really helpful. Like the coming back to life, the work that reconnects, like, you know, and just if there's something that you think can be helpful, it is your path to give it a try and just see what works. And like, you know, okay, maybe one person shows up, but you're learning, you know, getting out of the, it has to be a success out the gate. No, it's, let's give this a try and see if it lands and follow that path. So that's where I'm at in terms of just like, you know what, I feel like I was meant to do this.
You were meant to do this. You are here for a reason. I believe everyone is here for a reason, and it's tapping into what that deeper soul level purpose is. And you're definitely aligned with yours. So I'm so happy to support that and help you, you know, birth this into the world. And so let's pause here for a moment, because we talked about creating some space on the podcast for people to just be with you with music for a moment. So this might be a good pause to talk about percussion, particularly because I do feel that's unique to you, and then to give a sample of something that you're going to lead in reference to that.
Yeah, well, and this, thank you. This is really, I want to share too that, so because house music is polyrhythmic and salsa is polyrhythmic, like those are the places where, like as a dancer, I experienced that. But also very importantly, I just want to shout out Afro-Cuban folkloric dance. And that really, and this is what, the reason why I'm bringing that up is because this is a rhythm we're going to listen to. But just the, you know, the percussion really, I think, allows, especially because whether or not there's lyrics or chanting involved, it offers an opportunity to get into a meditative trance-like state. So where you can really explore, like, okay, so what the body wants to do, maybe what the mind is saying, you know, like, Aline LaPierre of Neuroaffective Touch talks about mind-body dialogues, right? So a practice that I do is like, let's say I'm moving, whether it's a rhythm that I just instinctively do or it's a dance move that I'm practicing, but I notice this sort of like, maybe there's what the mind is saying, and then I can notice how the body responds. And then if we can pull the lens back and just bring in that, like, seeing if it's possible to be curious but not reactive, whether it's a mindfulness perspective, whether it's IFS, you know, unblending from your, you know, yourself. But dance, I think, really allows you to access that self energy, and percussion, especially because it's repetitive and trance-like, and you just go deeper and deeper. And that's when something can emerge that you didn't think about, right? Because it's coming from the body, coming from the soul, and maybe even coming from this unseen, you know, whether it's your spirit guides, or in Afro-Cuban, you're dancing for the Orisha, you're dancing for them. You're trying to empty yourself of yourself and ask and sing to the spirits to come, especially the spirit of the toque, the rhythm, to come in and fill you. So, okay, so let's do a little practice. Now, this is going to be a little interesting because as we were setting this up, like, I wanted to play a house song, but we don't have the rights and we don't want to get sued. So maybe put that in the notes. like a song for people to experience. But okay, so this is a rhythm. I'm not a musician, so I'll just tell you what it is and how it's spelled, and you can look it up and learn more about it.
So tell us about where this music is from, and we'll put it in the show notes so people can access it.
So this is a rhythm called Iesa, I-Y-E-S-A. It's an Afro-Cuban folkloric rhythm. And I'm literally reading this to you from the app itself. This is a percussion app. You can get on iTunes. It's so great because you can not only play the rhythms, but learn about them. But it's not, I don't believe it's related to a particular orisha, which is the deities. But it's a high-pitched drum, the omele and the itole, the next to the highest-pitched drum, and they're both played with a stick. And then there's a lower-frequency drum called the baba, which is played with the hands. So that's about all I can tell you. So I'm just going to play this and invite folks to just, without any, like, nothing to do, nothing to be, nothing to, no right or wrong, but just like notice how the sound, what it's like to listen to it. Can you hear this? So you might notice, we'll just take a pause. We'll truncate. We'll make it a short. But just kind of like pause and notice. I mean, I noticed in me and also in you, Paula, that our heads were bobbing. Like it was automatic. This is what babies do, by the way. My biggest dance teacher was my nephew when he was 8 months old. He had this purple car and he'd press a button and it would play a rock and roll song. And you could see he'd like try to find, and then he'd get this herk, this like, thing. He was, there's a house dance move called jacking. This little baby was like jacking. We're born to respond to music. Oh man. So okay, so, and then we'll listen to it again, but this time see if, you know, if there is an impulse. So maybe the folks were listening had a different experience. Maybe there was a thought that they noticed, or maybe they noticed a contraction, or feeling like, oh gosh, what does that sound like? Or maybe they liked it or didn't like it. So just noticing that. And so, you know, the next thing would be like, is there an impulse? And that impulse could be, you don't like it, you turn it down for this part, you fast forward and just notice what it's like to follow that impulse. But if you're noticing anything that wants to happen in the body, and that's where we can bring in the Saibam from somatic experiencing, probably all other kinds of somatic teachings to talk about this, right? And these are pathways to embodiment, pathways to connect with your experience, however it is, whether that's a sensation, an image, behavior, which is impulse, affect, which is emotion, or meaning, the story. Yeah, maybe there's a story when you hear it and you think about, like, I remember West student being like, I imagine a giraffe, you know, in the safari. And it's like, great. That's a part of our experience. Our experience isn't just what we're thinking, right? That's what Descartes really fucked us up, you know, with I think, therefore I am. And that's not true at all. And so this is a way to be like, to get out of that. We're so much more than our thoughts. Okay, so with that in mind, we'll listen to the same thing and see if there's an impulse. We'll just see if we can focus on that and see what it's like to notice that impulse and to follow it. And we'll just do like 30 seconds. And then you might notice something else that wants to happen, because I just discovered my shoulders wanted to party too.
each part of the body might want to do something different.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of this, right? Because there's like, that's where we got to get out of the manual, like the colonial mindset of, you know, capitalism and patriarchy, you know, that there is a one way to do this. Like there's so many ways we could just, right. I noticed my neck moved and then I looked at you and then I moved my neck sideways and it was so fun. And then I like turned.
Mirror neurons or something happening between us as well.
Which is also another thing that I think is so important about doing this in a group space, because everything about like colonial, I mean, and I'm on this like journey of awakening, so I'm not saying this from like I have it figured out. I'm saying this from a place of I'm awakening to the truth of what is, not just my spirit, but also the ways that the dominant culture has divided us. And I think that, you know, the spaces that I go to dance, like I go to these Amapiano South African, that music is so much fun. And those parties are so much fun. And it is not a place where you go to sit by yourself with a drink in the corner because the party's coming for you, right? It's just like everyone's just vibing out. So you could be like nodding your head and someone's going to see you and be like, And then you're suddenly realize that, oh my God, you know, it's like you're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's this resonance that's available. And I think that is so powerful that that's why I'm doing it more and more in a group setting, because yeah, like you and I we just head bobbed today. My day is going to be great now. I just head bobbed with Paula. Doesn't matter what happens.
I want to bring up something, you know, because I go to events and look around. And I'm like you, so I've sit there and I'm moving and I will sit there and there's nobody else is moving. And I feel like it speaks to the ways in which we are cut off from, because sometimes what wants to move is the hips, and the hips connect us to our sexuality. And so it's like this, like it's been indoctrinated into us that is a no-no.
Especially in white culture.
Yes. That's what I mean, that I'll sit at a concert and I'm, yeah, often the only one, or there's a few of us and everybody else just sitting and I'm moving it. So,
yeah.
And so what would happen if we all gave ourselves that freedom and permission to do what you and I just did? And it takes that person smiling at you. I'm saying, come on, there, it's in there. It's in there.
Like, oh, what you're doing? I see, I'm picking up what you're putting down. Yeah. And it's like, oh my God, that's possible. Yeah. I grew up, it's not that my family doesn't dance, but I am in a kind of an anomaly. And then I get that sort of, you know, going into these, oh, I need to write a blog post about when I was dancing at my cousin's wedding and my aunt looked across the way and she was like, Kimberly is dancing. Cause it was, it's like at the cocktail table, they were playing Prince. How am I not going to dance? But it's his wedding. So there's so many layers of why that might be. I mean, I definitely think in learning about just like Protestant, is it like the role of religion and also the role of like the witch hunts and witch trials. And like, if you moved your hips, you were probably cavorting with the devil, you know, at those times. That's what they would say. So it's terrifying. And then there's also just like I think colonialism and white supremacy, that you're supposed to look a certain way and be a certain way. And there's so much shame of the body and like disconnection from the body that make it sort of like you're just kind of living from here up. And I think yes, I'm like you, I go to a concert and I'm like, woo, I'm feeling it. And, you know, and then people kind of, you know, there's some people, sometimes people are like, oh, okay. But, you know, I went to Puerto Rico recently for the Bad Bunny concert and I felt, you know, I have to say, I was like, I feel like I'm home because salsa was playing everywhere. And, you know, we stopped. I was on this like charter. We were traveling across the island. We stopped at a gas station and they were playing salsa. And I started dancing, and the woman making coffee was like, "Wepa, you should come to the party with us tonight." You know, it was just like, this is how most, I mean, this is how it's supposed to be. And I think definitely speaking for just my experience as a white woman, you know, growing up in suburbia, it's not the same, you know, it's like but you go to other cultures and it's a part of, you know, it's the cookout, it's the block party, it's the, you know, and so there people are more, it's much more comfortable. But I think that if that's a practice too, like finding, how do I say it? Like finding the safety to shake your ass, you know, as they say, free Parliament Funkadelic says, free your mind and your ass will follow.
Freedom of movement, freedom of speech, and freedom of movement. Yeah,
freedom for ass shaking.
We're going to end with that. I love it. So, and you, I just love having you in the mentorship because this is the energy that you brought to the group each time we met. I love that you're following the yes, the call to bring this beautiful medicine forward. And I want to know how people can find you and what you're offering.
Oh, thank you, Paula. And again, I just want to thank you so much because, you know, I think it's so important to shift out of the DIY of like colonial mindset, and you have to figure it out yourself. Like, I'm so grateful to you because you helped me find the really follow that yes and feel safe enough to follow the yes. So my gratitude to you for your mentorship. And I highly recommend to anybody considering your program that to do it because it was life changing for me. Okay. So, well, you can find me on my website, kimtorrance.com. And currently I'm offering Safe and Sound groups that combine SE and IFS. I'm doing somatic movement groups as well. Some of these things are in formulation. In person, I'm doing community and organizing community dance events where there's a bit of a embodiment warm up and just kind of helping folks feel comfortable with movement. And then, you know, and then we slowly titrate up into full on dancing. So that might be just local. And then also I'm offering, IFS and then somatic experiencing with dance, using dance as a way to explore those models. So I will have some virtual offerings coming up soon. So the best way to get in touch with me is to go to my website. And by the time this podcast airs, I will have a subscription. Subscribe to my newsletter, which I am going to do. And, you know, and then just follow along for more information. You can also email me at kim@kimtorrance.com. And that's TORRENCE.
Great. So we'll make sure those are in the show notes as well. And we know that you also are still involved in our community. So you can meet Kim if you want to join our monthly membership, because she is one of our members, and just full of this beautiful medicine, full of life, and a change agent, really, in the world today. So I am thrilled that we've connected and stayed connected and gone on this journey together. And I thank you so much for sharing and laughing with me and moving with me today. And I love it. I love it. I hope this inspires me to bring more music and movement into our world and our community. So we'll start to think about that together. Wow.
Thank you so much, Paula.
Thanks, Kim.
Thank you for being a part of the Transformative Harmonics podcast. If this discussion resonated with you, please subscribe, share the episode, or write a review. This helps to support the expanding community around embodiment, sound, and conscious living. You can visit Transformative Harmonics at paulascatoloni.com to find out more about my work, forthcoming classes, and the Transformative Harmonics Academy. You can also reach out and connect with me on Instagram. My handle is @paulascatoloni. I write regularly on Substack at Signature Frequency Living. Until next time, take good care and thank you for being part of the journey.